Okay, let's pray. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for your people, for the presence that our ears will hear this morning from you. For Albert, who is undergoing some treatments, I want to pray for him. All those that need prayer. Krista, her family. Lisa, it's good to see you. I've been praying for you. So, you know, it's amazing how, I'm still praying, by the way. it's just amazing how God uses situations in our lives to draw us closer to him. And Lord, just bless the words here today. Bless this portion with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. And our God is good, right?
Amen.
Amen? Is God good? Yeah. This is about our good shepherd. The shepherd of the sheep. I just want to do a couple here, and this shouldn't be that long this morning. Verse 4, it says, "And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, and they know his voice." What an amazing to be able to follow the shepherd on something that we hear. We follow because we heard something. Get that? We're following because he has given us a word. We follow because there's a message that he's saying, that he's communicating to us. And it says, and they know that voice. And a stranger's voice, a stranger they will not follow. They'll flee from that stranger. And look at that end. It says, for they know not the voice of the stranger. It's not that they don't hear. It's just they don't choose to know the voice of that stranger. There's many things that we hear daily. Thousands of projections in the atmosphere. Noise pollution is everywhere. There's so much to listen to. There's so much that comes into our ear gate. And then we have to discern, well, is this of God or isn't this of God? Is this something I want to hear? Is this something that I want to turn off and get rid of? When we were in Bible college, they talked about three different types of voices that were projected. Well, really two. I kind of made one up myself. But I think it's real because it's in my life. And it could be a combination of the first two. But the first sounds that are out there and projected is projections of noises into the atmosphere. And our mind is so powerful, it can pick them up like that. We have a powerful, powerful mind. This is why Satan goes after the minds of individuals. If he can put thoughts into your minds and get you to think outside of God's voice, outside of God's will, we are swayed and then we follow really what we hear in a lot of cases. So there's what they're called psychic noises out there, and where our psychic picks them up, and these are noises from the atmosphere, and Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So who's putting out these projections? Who's getting you to try to respond to this, these other noises and these other voices? And they'll come to you in many ways, like, oh, you need this, or oh, look at this, oh, have you looked upon this? Have you thought about this? To get you to think, that's why, look how many religions are out there in the world today. Do a Google search. It's there. It's ridiculous. Amazing. Satan loves you to be in religion. Jesus Christ opposed religion. He fought against the religious leaders of his time. That's where his battle, when he picked a battle, it was against a religious leader in most time. So it's not about religion. It's not the sound of religion that wants to conform you to do something. It's the voice of the shepherd, not the sound of religion. And Satan will promote religion. Go ahead, have your religion. Have it, you know. But it's really amazing that in all of these religions, not one of them can get you closer to God. All religion says to change yourself, like Steve was saying. Conform yourself. Make yourself better, which is an impossibility because that's an exterior. But there's an interior problem, and that problem is sin. And all have it. It's in all of us. In college, I studied psychology, and it was a study in that we were to go after the area of concern that we used to dwell upon. If I can fix this area in a person, they will be better for humanity. And it's just a lie. It's not true. If you think it's true, I'll let you lay down across this tongue here, and I'll talk to you. You can tell me all your problems, but it's just one answer I'm going to give you. Get closer to God. Keep drawing. Keep following Christ. That becomes our answer. Or get in the book. We start having issues and problems when we're outside of God's word. We see that. So intake, word of God, intake. And so there's these psychic noises from the atmosphere. The second noise out there, and remember the outside psychic noises will influence the other ones. And the second one is crowd, the crowd, the people. Speak. People speak. Think of it this way. In 1 week, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. 1 week later, that same crowd is yelling, crucify him. Quickly influenced. Quickly influenced is what the crowd does. This is peer pressure. This is where at work, you're around the water cooler and you're gossiping. And, you know, this is what the crowd loves to do. Loves to talk about people, talk about them. Not in front of them. They got to wait till that person leaves. Then they'll start talking, you know. But the crowd does that. The crowd always wants to speak about people. The crowd always wants to tell people how bad things are. Things are so bad. Things are so difficult. Because your eyes are on the world. Your eyes are on the problem. Get your eyes and your focus, like Steve was saying, off of that. Get your, really, when we, this full-blown repentance is just changing your thinking, changing your mind. That's repentance. Repentance is not an exterior change within person. It could lead to that, but that's not repentance. Repentance in the Greek is the word called metanoia. It means change your thoughts. We get the word metamorphosis, where a caterpillar turns into this beautiful butterfly. Same word. It's a change going on. Did the caterpillar do that change? No. It's all happening to it. And that's what happens to us. So the crowd has this amazing influence on, because most of what we hear are going to be from other people. You know, how about, Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the living God. And just a little bit later, he's telling Jesus, no, don't go to the cross. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Those words that came to him. You know, so very careful what we hear and what we listen to. The third one that I bring up, because it's more personal to me, is what speaks really, really loud are the streets. The streets, you know, speak to people. This is what captures people who get hooked on drugs and alcohol or any other thing that stimulates their thinking any way, any possible way. And it's loud out there. For a person that is going through situations in their life that have experienced drugs or alcohol or are in centers, it's very difficult to stop that because the noise just gets louder to them, and that voice turns into the addiction part where I have to have this to settle this, or it will never be settled. And that's what really they believe. So those are three. Pastor Scheller even gave me a couple of other ones because we got to speak a lot. One that he was also saying, there's also the voice of legalism. The voice of religion, the voice of legalism, and you will never have liberty. There'll be something that says, oh, I don't like that, or I don't practice that, or we don't celebrate, or whatever it is. But it's legalistic. It's not liberty, you know. So religion and even culture can keep people really, really from hearing clearly the voice of the shepherd. There's also sensuality. And it's a voice that goes out there and it lures people. It lures people in through sensual activity, sensual thoughts, sensual thinking. It's another voice that's projection. These are all projections. And then how about social response? Social media really speaks to people today. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There is no communication here. It's all here. You know, there's never nothing intimate because I can find it on Facebook or whatever. And by the way, like Pastor Schiavelli said, that's not Facebook. This is your face in the book. We got to get our face in the book instead of our face into that garbage. So, because with that, with that type, there is no spiritual involvement. You can never have spiritual involvement when you're not close to people. It can never happen. Christ cannot be between us when your phone is between you, you know. And I'm speaking to myself on this, you know. We deal with that stuff. So, my sheep, they hear his voice, and a stranger's voice, it says they don't even hear it. And think about that for a minute, because we hear things. Somebody speaks, we can hear it. We can take it in. But here it says, when the enemy, the stranger speaking, I can't even hear it, because this is speaking of the new creation. The new creation cannot hear another voice. It can't. The new creation is not going to hear words of condemnation. It's not going to hear words of guilt. It can't. It can only hear the voice of the shepherd. This is why 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. It's the new creation. It's the born again person that has this new creation. And that new creation, it is impossible to hear another voice. It only wants to hear the voice of Christ, because it's new. It's not transformed. It's brand new. We don't bring some of our old into the new. You know, a lot of us have amazing talents and gifts and great person, but you don't bring that into the new creation. God conforms the new creation. We are being conformed to Christ. It's nothing about our old Adamic nature. It's the new creation. And that new creation can only hear things from the finished work. The new creation can only hear words of grace. They can only hear, you're forgiven, my daughter, go and sin no. They can only hear things from God's word. Because it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to the new man, not the old man. You know, that old man's still there because we're fighting with it. But he only speaks to the new creation. He can't speak to the old. He's got nothing to say to the old. The old's dead. You know, the flesh will not enter the kingdom of God. There's no point for it. He's only worried about that new creation. So he's going to speak to it. And he's going to speak to it in loving, kinding, you're forgiven. He's going to draw you. He's going to tell you how much he loves you. He's going to share his love with you. He's going to pour out his mercy upon you. The old creation doesn't know those things. It can't. It's not been born again yet. It's old. It can't even understand the things of God, the Bible says. They say it's foolishness to them in Romans 1 and 2. It's foolish. The cross is foolish. All that Christianity, that's foolishness. Who does that? God. God does that for you. Because it says, even when you called him a fool, he still died for you. So, we hear because we're only born again. And we must get in tune to hearing that voice. And it's a soft, still voice. It's not this loud voice. There's no loudness in it. By the way, when Jesus Christ was on the cross dying, one of the last things he said, it is finished. That was softly spoken. I've heard Peter say, oh, he yelled that. It is finished. He had to ask for a sponge to be able to get these words out. It was soft. It's finished. And only a few select will hear how soft it is. And when you hear it, it will change your life. Because it puts away all religion. And it allows us to come just as we are and to be healed by that. So the new creation hears that. And they don't hear the other voice. They don't hear the words of religion. They don't hear condemnation. They don't hear what Satan wants you to hear. You failed again. Look how weak you are. You know, and then you hear that voice and you entertain that voice and then you become guilty over it. And you then start trying to please God in your flesh and in yourself. And it's unable to please him because only Christ pleased him with what he did on the cross. We're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the wrong side. We must listen. We must be in tune with one voice. The soft, still voice. And this is what draws us. And this is what we follow. We follow that voice. We follow that shepherd who cares for his sheep. Look at look at verse. You guys with me here?
Yes.
Okay. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. And this speaking of the I am, the Jews knew what that was because he told Moses, when he went to Pharaoh, well, who shall I say sent me? Just says, tell him I am. So they knew what I am was. And in John here, there's many of, I am the door, but I am the life. They go on and on. So I am the door. And basically what that means is everything must be through the door. There's no other way to enter. Mm-hmm. Thieves and robbers might want to enter in other ways. They can't. There's only one way. Well, that's pretty narrow, isn't it, Pastor? Well, Jesus Christ died for that to make it that way. There can't be numerous ways or his death and what he did and suffered on the cross meant nothing. If there's many ways to God, which they want to proclaim, because they want to feel comfortable in what they do in their own actions. It eliminates, it minimizes what Christ did on the cross if there are many ways. Narrow is the way that leads to life. So it's only through the door. And if any man enters in by that door, that man will be saved, plain and clear, through the door. So he makes it very clear there. And then he says this. He says, they shall go in and they shall go out. See that? They shall go in and they shall go out and they're going to find pasture. How do you say that in Spanish? Pastore and what's pasture? Pasture, green, grass.
Pastel.
I'm hungry now.
Not pesto.
Pasta. Okay, check this out. This is good. Okay, focus here. Look, this is good. So it says they they go in and they come out. They go in and they come out. And it's really, you know, people say, well, geez, when you get saved, what happens next? And as long as God has us here, there's such an amazing plan. You don't know life until you know this life. Because now you're going to be going in and you're going to be coming out. You're going in and you're going to be coming out. And this is amazing. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, you can turn there if you want. Keep your place. But yeah, let's go there. I want to just go to a couple places and we'll wrap it up today. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be staying before I go down again. Okay, 1 Kings 3. Look at this. So this is Solomon, right? Solomon and David has just passed away. And Solomon is going to be on the throne. And he starts looking at the overall of what's going to be taking place in his life. And he starts to get overwhelmed by it. And God says, what do you want? Gives him anything. I mean, some of us would really take advantage of that, I think. But, you know, what do you want? And it ended up, Solomon ended up saying, I want wisdom and understanding to be able to rule over these amazing people. Amazing people? I mean, they went against God and everything that they did, but it looks how look how Solomon viewed them. You know, he looked at them as perfect. He looked at Israel, we have a perfect, this is great people. They're your people, God. They worship you. They're for you, you know. And he says, what? And he asked for this wisdom. That's what. And with that wisdom, he received everything too. But that's not what I want to go over. He says, what do you want? And then he says this, and it's like he reminisces. It looks like he goes back a little bit. But he says, you know, David walked before you all his days. You granted him mercy. He walked in your righteousness. He loved you. He went after you with all his heart. You blessed him with everything. You even promised that his son would rule on the throne of David. You know, and maybe he heard David telling him that when he was even younger. And so he's like bringing this up. But the thing is now's that time. You know, you could always say, oh, that's wonderful, that's great, whenever, it's in the future. It's not really as personal until it happens. And now he's stepping into that role as king of Israel. He's stepping into that role. And after he does that, he says, I've got two issues. And, you know, when God calls you to the ministry or is tugging on your heart, you know, to even go maybe deeper, to become a disciple, to maybe abide in a calling upon your life, you always look at yourself and disqualify yourself. You know, you start saying, well, I can't do that. I mean, oh, they got great faith, but I could never do that. And you disqualify yourself. And he does it. He says, number one, I'm too young. I can't do it. I'm too young. You know, or I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that. And it's called the doctrine of excuses. It's not biblical, but it's real in people's life. Ask them to do something for the ministry, and a list comes out of why I can't. You know, I can't because of, I used that one last week. Oh, this one's good. I can't do it because of this, you know. So we disqualify ourselves. And, you know, the amazing thing with Solomon as a king, as the leader. Most leaders and kings rule from above and down. All kings are at the top. The people are below. The servants are below. Not Solomon. He flipped it. He became one of them. Just like Christ. He served them. You want to be great? Start serving people. Watch your flesh get in the way though. His flesh don't want it because everything people does offends you. You get offended even on the way here? Guy cut you off? No, you cut on me. You pull up next to him, start staring him down a little bit. You know, you're offended over, you know, every little thing starts to offend you, you know. And but as a servant, how can it? Because you're dead. You know, Christ died. He says, don't you know that you have died with Christ? How can somebody who's dead offend? You can go up to a casket today and just rip that person. They're not going to get offended. You're wearing that on this day. You know, it's your funeral and you're going to wear that. It don't even matter. You know, you can say anything you want to that person. They're not going to get offended. You can rip them and rip them and rip them. They're not getting offended. You know, but you know what? In that, so, you know, we learn this. Listen to this. We learn to die. But we also learn not to live. Get that? We learn to die, but we also must learn we don't live. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives for me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who gave himself and died for me. So I must learn to die. And by the way, when you do learn to die, don't let the flesh resurrect you. Because we resurrect ourselves all the time. He's back from the dead, you know. No, put it. We don't want that. We want Christ, you know. But we also learn not to live, which is pretty amazing. If you think on that one today. Okay, where are we? Okay. Mm-hmm. So Solomon learned to rule with them, not above them. And this is what made him so great. But so he says two things. Number one, the excuse. And then he says this. He says, look at it. I think seven. Yeah. Look at the last part of seven. So instead of David, my father, but I am a little child. That's one. And then he says, look, I know not how to go out and I don't know how to come in. Remember what Jesus says? They're gonna come in and they're gonna go out. They're gonna come in and they're gonna go out. And this is what we learn as a disciple. This is what we learn as we follow Christ. We must learn how to come in and we must learn how to go out. David said, or Solomon said, I never learned that. I don't know how to go out and come in. And you know what? Look at this. I think he had it backwards. He had it backwards. He says, I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. We must come in first. We can't go out unless we learn to come in. Yeah. By coming in is where we learn our identity. As we come in, we learn who we are in Christ. We learn that he loves me with an everlasting love. I learn that I'm forgiven. I learn that I have his mercy is always goes before me. You know, I have to learn that. I learn that in the presence of God. I learn that before him. I must learn to come in. Some of us don't know how to come in because they think there's a veil there. That's another thing, Jesus Christ. He got rid of that veil. We have access to God. He says, come boldly to the throne room of grace in Hebrews 4:16, where you can... that you may find that you may receive mercy and find grace in a time of need. Why do we come? Because we're so needy. We have all these needs. We've got all these issues. We got to go before God. We can't take them on ourselves. Because you're going to take all these things on yourself and then you're going to go out and you're going to share that with others? They don't want to hear that. Let me tell you something. People really don't want to hear your problems. So stop telling. I will. But people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You're going through that again? Didn't you just go through that last week? Didn't we pray? Oh, it came back on me. No, you didn't leave it. Leave it with Christ. But no, you know, no. In general, they do. I'm just kidding. I'm just being. But it's, you know, we want to talk about everything. I chipped my nail. So bad. It hurts so bad. What? But no, we'll come up with the things, and it's for attention. A person that keeps coming to you complaining about their problems and their past, just pat them on the back or on the head, send them off. You know, I'm just kidding. Exactly. Yeah. Be careful what you tell people, because they say, oh, yeah, tell me what's wrong. I want to pray for you. And then they go and gossip it to somebody, you know, so. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You know what? The great thing about the body here is we can go to one another. We really can. And these are people that will pray for you. And that's where it is. But we're talking about people in the world. Why do you want to talk to somebody in the world about, you know, things like that? So we must learn first to come in before we go out. We can't go out and come in. You're going to go out, you're not going to have nothing. So we come in and we get filled, we get built up, we get edified. We hear from God. He speaks to our heart. He tells us he loves us. And that's the greatest thing, just to keep hearing that. We should be enough. You know, something that you hear today, a promise from God, and there's like 7,000 in the Bible. But you hear one thing from God, it will keep you from next week's depression. It's that powerful. Or you can reject it and go into next week and enjoy how miserable you feel. And, you know, we like staying in that for some reason. Come out of that garbage. You know, come out of that Egypt. That's all it is. You know, we don't need to live in that. You know, because that does nothing for your mind, and especially the stress level. You have a lot of stress. You're in the back in the book. There's your counsel. There's my pastoral advice. Get in the book. Stay in the Word. Get built up. Learn to come in, and then you go out. Because when we come in, we're going to receive, and then when we go out, we're going to pour out what we just received. Because it's for others. It ain't for me. It's not that I can get through this day because it's so. No, it's to pour out to others. And then guess what? You start to get dry and thirsty. Oh, time to go back in. That's why Jesus says they come in and they go back out. They come in and they go back out. They must learn to come in and they continue to learn to come out. Deuteronomy 28. 6 is another one, and this is Old Testament, but let me just read this part. It's really good. It says, if thou shalt hearken diligently to my voice. Isn't that good? We just got done hearing, my sheep know my voice. And God's saying, to hear in a way that it becomes your full focus. I need to hear from God now. I need to hear from God. I'm diligently going to listen to what he has for me. He says, if you shall hearken diligently to my voice. He said, and then he goes in and then he talks about all these blessings that he will do for you. Now, this was Old Testament. This is conditional. If you, then I. It was that. At that time, but it's not now. But this promise was amazing. In verse 6, he says, then I will bless you as you come in, and I'm going to bless you as you go out. I'm going to bless your coming, and I'm going to bless your going. God is going to be with us if we learn to listen to that small, still voice. He will cause these blessings upon us. Every step you take, you're going to be blessed. He's going to bless your comings and he's going to bless your goings. This is all about reconditioning our mind to hear that voice. And this becomes a problem because there's so much noise. We must filter through that garbage. We must push all that noise away and learn to focus in on hearing that small, still voice. One last thing, I'm done. Okay. So back in John 10, you just see this. I just wanted to cover one other thing. So you got that? What are we going to do? We're going to be what? Going in and we're going to be coming out. Going in and going out. In verse 4, where he says that my sheep follow and they hear the voice of the shepherd, right in the beginning of that, it says, Jesus is speaking. Listen to this. He says, I will put them forth. I'm going to put them forth. Listen to this. This is good. Jesus presents us. He's presenting us to a world that doesn't know him. We are his ambassadors. We go for him here. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, abides within us, and he presents us. He presents us to a world that is dying. He presents us, I'm giving them to the world. And that's amazing. And he presents you holy, acceptable. He presents you as his chosen. You're his ambassador. You're his representative. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're the eyes of Christ. This is amazing. What are you presenting? Are you presenting nothing because you haven't gone in? And you're all dried and this is what the world gets? Lucky us? Or have you gone in and now you have something to give? It's what is given. And this isn't, out of works or anything. We come in by grace. We come in by faith. We enter in by faith and by the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we can't enter in. So God says, come. He invites us to come in because he knows he's going to present us as we go out. We're presented before him. You are amazing. You have so much that God has given you. Even if you're brandly new saved, God has given you so much to give others. And we are to allow it to just flow and pour out. Don't worry about it running out, because we'll just come back in. We'll just come back in. This is what church is for on Sundays. We come in, we hear his word. Hopefully today you've been edified and built up and you're encouraged and you have now something to pour out, because he's presenting you. He's presenting you to the world. He's presenting you to lost people. He's presenting you to those who are on drugs and alcohol. He's presenting you. He's presenting you to the one who's depressed and lonely. He's presenting to you the one that has major hurt and pain in their life. He presents you to the one that's got medical problems and issues. God's presenting you to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize those in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it only happens when we learn to come in. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you teach us. And you're going to teach Solomon how to do it right, how to come in and go out. And we learn this, and we learn it by grace. He walks us right in, and he walks us out, and he presents us because of this amazing love that he has for us. He presents us, and we are his. We're his children. And the Bible says that we're also perfect in his sight. We're perfect in the sight of God, which means you're flawless, you're holy, you're righteous. It's not how we see ourselves, it's how he sees us. And that's perfect and acceptable in his sight. Lord, teach us. If there's somebody here that has never heard this voice of the shepherd, and it's not an outward voice, he speaks to your heart. And he says, if you open up your heart and allow me to come in, I will come in. And I will fellowship with you one-on-one. He says, and not only that, as I will also pour my Holy Spirit upon you. And the Holy Spirit then will start teaching you. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to come in and how to go out. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ, with nobody looking around, we're not embarrassing you. You're not joining a church. You're not joining a religion. We're talking about Christ and fellowship with him. Just lift up your hand. Accept Jesus today. Thank you for that hand. Yes, Lord, put it down. Let me pray for you. Anybody else that wants Christ, that wants to learn how to go, come in and go out, wants to learn about this amazing relationship, this amazing fellowship that we can have with God. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You only receive it by grace through faith, not of works. You don't conform yourself to Christ. You receive it by grace. It's free. It's a gift. And now today, because you said yes to Christ, he's saying yes to you. And now receive the Holy Spirit. Be discipled. Grow with him. Learn about this amazing love that he has for you. We just want to pray also for the offering and bless our fellowship in our wrap. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.